Okay, so today we're going to start Siman Tzadi Tes in Yeridaya. Siman Tzadi Tes is titled in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, it's known as the Eim Avatla Nisil Chachila Siman, but really, you only get into Eim Avatla Nisil Chachila once you're a little bit into Siman Tzadi Tes. So the title in Shulchan Aruch is Din Ha'atzamos Imit Startin Levata Lisir and Vishal Levata Lisil Chachila. Why aren't these two separate simanim? They don't seem to have much to do with each other. Whether atzamos or mitstarif to be mevatel liyaser, do you count the bones as part of the cheshbon of being mevatel liyaser or not? So the reason that they're together is because it's the same sugya in Shas. It's all based on the same sugya in Maseches Chulin. That's at least my assumption over here. What we're going to spend more time on is certainly the second part of the sugya, the eim mevatel nisul chachila. Part of the sugya, we're going to start off by discussing the first part of the sugya, and that is what comes into the cheshbon when you talk about being mevatel an iser. You have a drumstick of nevela that falls into your pot of chicken that you're making, and it's got a pot of chalent or whatever, and you take out the drumstick. So how do you measure the drumstick? Do you measure the drumstick by the full volume of the drumstick, including the bone, that's all nevela, and now you need shishim keneged that? Do you measure, shishim keneged the basar that's in the drumstick? Or no, maybe not. Maybe you can measure shishim counting the bone as part of the heter to be mevatel, the meat that's on the drumstick, because maybe only the meat is going to be a problem. So that's the first part of the siman, is how we deal with klipos va'atzamos. So although this is about Ein Mevatel Nisul Chachila, that's what we're going to discuss first. Now this is the famous sugya in Maseches Chulin of Zroa B'Sheila. What is the sugya of Zroa B'Sheila? What in the world is a Zroa B'Sheila? So you need to know a little bit of Chumash, Parshas Naso. The Torah tells us that there's something in the Torah called a Nazir, and a Nazir, one of the carbonates that he brings, is the Ayil Nazir. It's a carbon shlamim, and as a carbon shlamim, it's obviously kachim kalim, though it's a little bit different than normal kachim kalim, because while it is like normal kachim kalim in terms of who eats it and where it's eaten, it is only nechal liyom v'layla ad chatzos, meaning similar to carbon pesach, it's only eaten for that day and that night up until chatzos, whereas other Karbanos Shlamim are obviously... Other Karbanos Shlamim? No, you say the Mishnayos every morning? No one knows. Come on. Can't get Tzmicha without knowing Karbanos Shlamim. Is Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad, right? Other Karbanos Shlamim is normally eaten for 2 days and one night. I have to remember to put that in the Tzmicha B'china. That other Karbanos Shlamim are Shnei Yamin V'Layla Echad, but this Karbanos Shlamim is only Laila Echad until Chatzos. So in every other way, it's like Kachem Kalim though. But then the Torah says this incredible chiddush about the El Nazir, in that the Zroa of the El Nazir becomes Kachem. See, even though the whole thing is Kachem Kalim can be Nechal by the Bailim, it doesn't have to go to Kohen, it's Nechal in all of Yerushalayim, it doesn't have to be Nechal in the Azara, right? But the Zroa, so one part of the korban all of a sudden becomes kachin kachin. And that means that only the kohen's allowed to eat it. So the Torah tells me that you got to give it to the kohen. That alone is not, it's a chiddush, that's a chiddush, but that alone would have nothing to do with Yeridaya. That's a din kachin. Okay. But then the Torah tells me, v'lakach ha-kohen es hazra b'sheila min ha'ayin, that it has to be cooked. Okay, that alone is not a chiddush either in terms of Yeridaya. Comes along Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the Gemara in Tzadi Ches, and he says, "Ein b'sheila ela shenisbashla im ha'ayil," that the zroa is cooked with the rest of the animal. Now the rest of the animal is kachim kalim. The zroa is kachim kachim. It's all cooked together. How does the rest of the animal remain kachim kalim if it's all cooked together with the zroa, which is kachim kachim? So that's a little bit difficult. L'chora, the zroa should be giving tam into the rest of the ayil. So in fact, the Gemara Chulin Daf Tzadi Ches tells us that we derive from Zra B'Sheila that Kol Yisurin Shebet Torah become Batel with some ratio. That there's some, because you see that obviously the Zra B'Sheila became Batel. So you see from there that Yisurim can become Batel in the Torah. So I Dafka said some ratio, because the Gemara plays, that's exactly our sugya, what that ratio is. So the Gemara tells us that there are two Tanaim, presumably that did an experiment, right, that measured and that tried to figure out, okay, let me take an ayil, let me see what the zroa is, let me see what the volume of the rest of the ayil is, let's see what the ratio is, and that's the din of bittul that the Torah is telling me. Apparently, I'm able to do bittul on that. So, on whatever that ratio is, that would create bittul. So the Gemara tells us, Amr b'chia baraba, Amr b'shul ben levi, mishum bar kapara, kol yisur shabatara b'shishim. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Ata Omer Kain Hachi Amar Avasi Amar Rabbi Shmuel Levi Mishum Bar Kapara Kol Yisur Shem Torah B'meya. So the Gemara says and Shneim Lalem Dua Elam Yisra B'Sheila, that it's either Shishim or Meya, and they both learn it from Zra B'Sheila. Presumably, again, they both just tried to figure out what it is. So the Gemara says that the discrepancy can be explained. Well, wait a second, what, they have like very different size aisles that they did the experiment on? Did they mistum? They both used average size aisles, average size roas. So the Gemara says, no, the discrepancy can be explained based on whether you count the bones of the zroa into the cheshbon. Mandi amr b'shishim savar basar v'atzamos bahadi basar v'atzamos misharinan v'avali b'shishim mandi amr b'meya savar basar bahadi basar misharinan v'avali b'meya. Question is, do atzamos count at all as the into the cheshbon? I should unfog my glasses. If I take a picture, I didn't even see him in the room. The pashtus is that when it comes to the last 3 seconds, the pashtus is that when it comes to what was I saying? Yeah, that the machlokas as follows, that do we count the atzamos as part of the iser and also part of the heter, or do we just totally ignore the atzamos entirely? That if you count the atzamos, so it happens to be the zroa is a very bony part of the animal. So if you're going to count the atzamos, it's going to throw off the ratio a little bit. Whereas if you don't count the atzamos, there's much less meat on the zroa corresponding to the rest of the animal, so that's how you're going to yield such different results. So if you hold that it's shishim, it must be that you count the bones, and since the zroa is very bony, there's only shishim and the rest of the animal against the zroa. Whereas if you hold that it's meya, it means that you're not counting the bones, and since there's very little meat on the zroa, so there's 100 times that amount of meat in the rest of the animal. And how do we conclude the halacha? Obviously, in all these rooms in the Torah, how do we conclude the halacha? Shishim, right? Obviously, we're passing shishim. And therefore what? When I need to cheshbin, the drumstick of nevela falls into my challenge. What does shishim tell you? Do I cheshbin the bone or do I not cheshbin the bone? So the Gemara concludes shishim by Zroa B'Sheila and everywhere else in the Torah. And therefore, it should turn out that non-kosher bones are a problem. Because the only way to arrive at shishim is by counting the bones into your cheshbin. If that's the only way you're going to get to shishim, so then it must be that the non-kosher bones are in fact a real issue. So Rishonim are already bothered by how we can assess meyo or shishim based on the ratio of zroa to the rest of the ayil, if after all, wait a second, it must be b'sheila, which means that it's also cooked in water. Right? B'sheila means that there's a difference in the Torah between tzli versus bishel. Tzli means you just take the animal as is and you roast it, like by Korban Pesach, right? That's a din by Korban Pesach. But over here, it's Zroa B'Sheila. Bishel has a very specific connotation. It means that there's a liquid medium. So you're going to measure for me the rest of the animal versus the Zroa. That's not enough. If we're saying that the din of Bittul is being derived from Zroa B'Sheila, what you really should be measuring is the rest of the animal plus the water connected the zroa, right? So the Rishonim are bothered by that kasha. So there are three basic approaches to answer that kasha. The Rav Yah and the Rashba in his second answer, the Rashba has two answers, but the Rav Yah and the Rashba in his second answer suggest that they did cheshbin the water into it, that they took water into account, and that's how they arrived at those numbers, meaning they were aware that it has to be b'sheila, and therefore, they took the average amount of water into account that you would use to cook an ayil. The lashon of the Rav Yah is she'i efshar lomar shebelo hamayim pligi. It can't be that they were arguing without the water. Sharei ein be'ayil ze afilu arba'im chalakim keneged hazroa. Says Rav Yah, I did my own experiment, and I could tell you that the ayil is not even 40 times keneged d'zroa. So obviously they were taking water into account. Shurigilus kashecholke makatzav mesabasu l'reviyos, and then he goes through how it often works out when they start butchering animals. That what you're going to find when you start butchering an animal, whether it's going to be what the ratios are going to be. So he says, so therefore, you're going to find that the ratio is always going to be a lot less than 100, a lot less than 60. It's really more like a 40-to-1 ratio. Elamai, it must be that they took the water into account. That is the Rashba's second answer. Another possible approach that the Rishonim suggest, and this is the Rashba also in his first answer, that maybe the whole limud from Zroah B'Sheila is really only an asmachta. It's not a real limud anyway. It's only an asmachta. So since it's only an asmachta, so we don't have to take the water into account, because it's not a real limud from there. We're just saying that the Zroah B'Sheila is an indicator that we use as a remez to remember, if that's how you understand asmachta, or however you understand asmachta, you know, Rambam Ritva, however we understand Asmachta, but it's just something that helps us remember and indicates to us what the ratio should be for Bittul. And the ratio for Bittul should be Zroa versus the rest of an animal. But it's not a real bona fide limud. Then a third approach that the Rishonim suggests, and the Rashba quotes this as well, the Rashba right here in the Sugya, is that who says Zroa B'Sheila requires a liquid medium? Maybe you can do Zroa B'Sheila without any water. What was our problem? Bishul. Bishul means water. It should be Zroa Tzeluya if it was if there was no liquid medium. Says Rashi, but not necessarily. There's a middle ground, right? There's Bishul, there's Tzeluya. What's the middle ground? Tzeli Kedar. What's Tzeli Kedar? It's a pot roast. That you have something, it's not over an open flame, it's not over a grill. It's in a pan and simmering in its own juices. So since Tzli Kedar would be good enough for Zroa B'Sheila, so that would be... Now, that answer is the most controversial of the answers, probably, because it's not clear from the Sugyas and Maseches Nazir whether that's true lahalacha, that Tzli Kedar is actually kosher for Zroa B'Sheila. It could be that that's not true lahalacha, that lahalacha, you need to have an actual bishul and not tzli kedar. It's a machlokas, how to understand, I think it's Mem Zayin or so, Maseches Nazir, there's a brisa like this, not so clear how to understand that brisa in Maseches Nazir. Okay, but that's just as far as how they arrived at this cheshbon. But we again, paskin that it's shishim, and therefore the maskana of our sugya seems to be that since it's shishim, it seems that we should count the bones, because that's the only way you get to shishim. However, there is Yerushalmi in the first parak of Maseches Orla. First parak of Orla, Halacha Gimel, where the Yerushalmi discusses klipos shel Orla. What about the shells of Orla? Are they mitzarif to the sheer bittel of Orla? How much do you need to be mevatel Orla? It's not shishim, it's not mea, it's masayim when it comes to Arla, but there is such a din of bittel by Arla. So do the klipos count toward the bittel of the peros of Arla? Meaning, these are the klipos of the Arla fruits themselves, but the klipos don't have a din of Arla, or that's what we're suggesting, the Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi says that the klipos do not have a din of Arla, and they can even count toward the bittel. Now, if you assume that klipos and atzamos are the same thing, right, that if a klipa does not have a din of arla, why would a klipa not have a din of arla? Because it's not the pri, it's not something that's edible, it's not something a person would eat. So that would be the same as atzamos. Atzamos would also not have a din of whatever the isser is, because it's not something that a person would eat. So then it would turn out that we actually have a stira between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, because the Babli says we count the atzamos, or at least the way we paskin in Bavli is that we count the atzamos, and yet when it comes to Arla, we decidedly do not count the klipos as far as Arla is concerned. So the Rishonim point out that you got to do something about this, right? Meaning, what would you normally say when you have a stira between Bavli and Yerushalmi? You have machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi. So the simplest solution, easiest solution is Yeah, Paschal like a Bavli, right? That's the easy solution. Why do we talk a Paschal like a Bavli against the Yerushalmi? So there's a, right, that's the sheet of the Rif. The Rif at the end of Erevin, we'll get to it in Daf Yomi soon, is that we pass in like a Bavli against Yerushalmi, and the Bavli, the assumption, historically questionable assumption, is that the Chachamim of the Talmud Bavli already saw everything it says in Yerushalmi, and since they saw everything it says in Yerushalmi, they are the Basra, because Hilchos Basra only works if the Basra saw what the earlier generation said. If the Basra never saw what was written in the earlier generations, then there's no din of Hilchos Basra, because Hilchos Basra is totally counterintuitive. Right, in Judaism, we believe in Yeridas Hadoros. So why would we be Hilchos Basra? We would think that the halacha should always be like the earlier generation. The whole notion of Hilchos Basra relies on the idea that we're midgets standing on the shoulders of giants, right? That's the whole concept. Well, a midget can only be standing on the shoulders of the giants if the giant is there. If he's never met the giant, then he's not going to be a midget standing on the shoulders of the giants, right? So that's the notion of Hilchos Basra. So that's what the Ramban in his Hashmatos to the Chidushim on Chulin, Tzadi Chesan Beis, and it's quoted over here by the Beis Yosef, is that it's indeed a machlokas between Bavli and Yerushalmi. We pass like the Bavli, whether you say like the Rif at the end of Erevin, that it's Hilchos Basra, or like Rav Elchanan, I think in Kuntros Divrei Sofrim, that the Yerushalmi wasn't approved by Rov Chachmei Yisrael, whereas Bavli was more universally approved of. So we hold that the bones of the Isser are part of the Isser. That is the Shita of the Ramban, based on that notion of that we always pass like a Bavli against Yerushalmi. Comes along the Ran in Chulin Daf Lamed Hemeral B'Dapei Ariv, Dibur Maskul Garsinan, and he's also quoted by the Beis Yosef, and he disagrees, and he says, no, it's not a stira between the Bavli and Yerushalmi. They're not talking about the same thing. The Bavli is talking about bones, the Yerushalmi is talking about klipos. Klipos are less edible than bones are. Is that true? It depends which bone, it depends which klipa, right? An orange peel. Is an orange peel less or more edible than a bone? So I happen to think orange peels are disgusting, but there are a lot of people that, or some people, that, you know, they dip them in chocolate and they eat the orange peels. So, I don't know, is it, a peel of a grape is very edible, right? So, klipos are, although a peel of a grape in the stomach for sure is a dinner problem, but klipos of those peros that are totally inedible are not going to have a dinner for arla because they're not edible at all. So it may turn out that according to the Ran, while most bones of Isser are like the Isser because they're somewhat edible, if you actually were to have a very brittle, hard, inedible bone, then it might have a din of a klipa and would be mitzdarif lehetet. In fact, the Ritva over here quotes from the Betek Abayis that the entire discussion of Atzamos Mitzdarifos is not, or whether Atzamos are mitzdarif or not, is only by bones that have moach in them. But bones that are very hard certainly don't count as Isser and are in fact mitzdarif leheter. Right? It's only if there's moach, there's only if there's some marrow in it, so there's something to eat in the bone. But if you have a bone that's very hard and it's not really edible at all, then it's mitzdarif leheter. So that is shita number two. Yeah.
Now there's a question. Regarding Borer, are bones and klipos necessarily the same? Aren't bones considered the animal because they can hypothetically be cooked and eaten?
Regarding Borer, you're saying Hilchos Shabbos? Okay, in Hilchos Shabbos it's going to be different because over here we want to know. I understand, but in Hilchos Shabbos, what we're looking for is are these the same min as the other, not whether it's a food, right? Although we are, I guess, ochel mitoch psalos mitoch ochel. I guess that's what he's referring to. But so it would be a similar discussion, meaning if you're going to say that you have a bone that can become edible because you can cook it, so l'chora, that's the kind of bone, but some bones can't become edible, no matter how long you cook it for, and that's what the Ritva's point is, that if you have a bone that's totally inedible and can't become edible, then it's like a klipa, but if you have a bone that that can be edible, so then it would be like the food itself. Then you have the Rash, the sheet of the Rash in Shumas, Rash Mishantz, in Shumas Perakei Mishnates, and it's quoted over here by the Rash in Maseches Chul. right? You know, when you hear in the context of you know, of the Yoredei Ashirim that someone's quoting a Rash in Trumas, it's unlikely that you know, it's just Bikius and Rash, right? It's got to be that the Rishonim had you know, had found this for you. It's hard to find these things on your own. The Beis Yosef found this for you. It's quoted by the Torah also that the entire Zroah B'Shelu Sugya doesn't follow normal rules because the whole thing, it's min b'mino anyway, so it should have really been min b'mino if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda is not batal at all, and if you hold like the Rabbanon like we do on a Daraisa level, it's batal b'rov. So this whole idea that we learn the din of Shishim from Zroah B'Shelu doesn't even follow the normal rules of Bittul anyhow. So the halacha, we should ignore the Bavli about bones because it's all just a siman bi'alma. It's an asmachta. The whole thing is not a real limud, and therefore the Yerushalmi is correct that bones and peels do not have the status of isra at all. So essentially, what we have over here is three mahalchim. Either go with the Bavli because the Bavli is always right. On the other extreme, shita number three that we just quoted, the Rash, go with the Yerushalmi because this Bavli is not to be taken literally. Or somewhere in between, that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi can be reconciled. And there are different types of bones, there are different types of peels. It depends on how edible these bones and these peels are in each one. Therefore, it has to be assessed separately. Now, obviously, the one that's going to create the most complicated cheshbon is that middle shita. I mean, if you're going to pass like that middle shita, and then I tell you, a drumstick fell into what? Okay, to a big mixture of chalin, with chalin bones and with some chicken wings maybe in there, and with, you know, you're going to have to assess which bones have marrow and which ones don't, and which ones are edible and which ones are not, and it's going to chop a huge nafkamina, right? Because a bone is not either counting or not counting, it either counts for this team or it counts for that team, right? Meaning it either is mitzari for the heter or it's mitzari together with the yisir. So it leads to an extraordinarily complicated cheshbon if you're going to start, you know, you're going to start portioning off which bones count and which bones do not count. How do we pass it on halacha? So in the poskim, there are five shitos that are quoted in the poskim. The Me'iri quotes those who say, and this is actually the first day I quoted in the Torah, that bones do count in both directions. Bein laheter, bein laiser, that bones do count, meaning like the Bavli, that apparently the bones count, right? Straight like the Bavli, the Ramban passes us this way. It's the first day in the Torah. Then, shita number two, the Arzarua, Chelek Dalasim Reishayim Zayin, writes that we count the Atzamos Shel Heter, but we completely ignore the Atzamos Shel Iser in both directions. Whoa, that's new. The Atzamos Shel Iser are neither Heter nor Iser. We pretend they're not there. But the Atzamos Shel Heter, they count for something. He writes, in case you don't believe me, here's the Lashon. You still might think I'm making this up. Hilkach, Atzamos Shel Iser eina mitstarfos leesar. Avol Shel Heter mitstarfin lahatir. Okay? Don't be Mitzayev Shel Iser leesar, but yes, be Mitzayev Shel Heter lahatir. Aval, ein letzayif atzama shall iser im a heter levatel is iser. Kravibi and kravuna, de toreach laatir kulehat. Aval gab de mashma leatera. Because that's a big tircha to be matir so much, whatever that means. It's too much to be matir that, to that extent. Vim shuma dum yatir lo aval de richam mablina chon lahakel kulehat. If someone is maker like that, you know, you can't get angry because bones are really nothing, and they're therefore not usher. But I'm not comfortable being maker like this. The Ramah and Sif Aleph paskins this way, and the logic for the shita is very elusive, right? Meaning, what does that mean? If the Atzamos Shel Iser aren't Iser, by definition in Judaism, there are two types of things. There's that which is usher and that which is mutter. So if it's not Iser, by definition, it is Heter. There's no such thing as, you know, pretend it's not here. It's invisible. It's halachically invisible. Well, what kind of business is that? So two suggestions in Achronim. The Prima Gadim in Sif Seida, Sif Katan Beis, says that the Chacham were concerned that you might first cook the Atzamos Shel Iser with the Iser alone, without any Heter, meaning you'll take your nevela drumstick and you'll cook it as is, and then the atzamos are going to absorb the tam of iser, at which point you would no longer be able to mitzarif those atzamos to hetter. Meaning you have like a chanan on the bone itself. The bone itself, it started as hetter, but once you cook it with the iser, it will become iser. So because we're concerned about that, we just say, you know what, atzamos shel iser are not gonna count. Meaning, if that's the real concern, then it should become iser. Yeah, so we don't take it that far, I guess. I don't know. Then you have the Chavis Das. Chavis Das explains that there is, you know, Chavis Das basically says that we think of everything as edible or not edible. Good, no good. Is it okay? He says, there are madrigals over here. Atzamos are not nothing, but they're also not everything. There is lachluchis shel basar in the atzamos somewhere. There's a little lachluchis, a little bit of something, a little bit of moisture, a little bit of tam, a little bit of something in the atzamos shel iser. But it's such a tam kalush that it won't contribute to the iser. But since it has that little bit of tam, it's also not heter. So it's iser, but it can't aser. Is essentially how the Chavis Das understands. I mean, because we said, wait a second, if something is not Isser, by definition, it's Hetter. So says the Chavis Das, you're right. If something is not Isser, by definition, it's Hetter. The Atzamos are Isser, but it can't be Mitztarif to Aser other things, because its ability to give off any Isser is very limited, because it's such a Tam Kalash. You know, you're really like splitting hairs over here, but you got to come up with some sort of truth. Is, if you look at the Lashon Rav Yah, it sounds like neither of those things, right? It says, look, the real halacha is that it's totally mutter. And if someone were to be makel about this, you know, okay, no big deal. He says, he's not over al dibrei chachamim. He's not violent. So, like, that's how the Yer Zeruah writes it. The Yer Zeruah writes that explicitly. That's not over al dibrei chachamim, meaning that meikra din, it's really heter. It's a chumrah. That we don't count it toward the bittul, which makes it sound much more like the Prima Gadim and less like the Chavis Das, right? Meaning that the Chavis Das sounds like it's fundamental to the nature of the bone, that the bone has some lachluchas, it has some time, like he really explains it. Prima Gadim says, ah, chumrah, chashash, or this, or that. Okay, so then that's why you understand what the Ezra is going to say, and if someone does it, okay, no big deal. The Rashba and the Taras Abayas and the Rash that we pointed out before and the Mechaber hold that even the Atzamos Ha'iser are Mitztarif Laheter if they have no Moach, right? If they don't have any Moach in them, but if they have Moach, then they're Mitztarif Laiser. I mean, there's kosher bones and there are non-kosher bones. In the Pischei Tshuva, he quotes a Ma'ari Alevi that says that even Atzamos Iser that have Moach are mitztarif laheter to be mvatel the Iser. That Moach doesn't mean anything to me. The fact that it has marrow doesn't mean anything. That's a very great chiddush. And then the Beis Yosef and the Bach quote Rabbeinu Yeruchim that atzamos shel heter only work to be mitztarif laheter if the taroves is min bimino, where min atar it's batel barov. But if it were a taroves of min b'sheino mino, then you're not allowed to use atzamos shel heter to be mvatel, because then the need for shishim is daraisa. Again, that's not taking a stand. That's saying that because it's recognizing that it's a machlokas, so when it comes to din d'oraisa, I'm not willing to be makel. But when it comes to din d'rabanan, where the requirement for shishim in the first place is only din d'rabanan, because it's min b'mino, which we pass it on a d'oraisa level, is batel b'rov. Okay, so then we'll rely on it. So again, in Shulchan Aruch, you have this whole discussion how to paskin. The Mechaber Atzamos Ha'Iser Mitztarfim Meheter Levatel Iser. The Ramah quotes a Yesh Matirim, that a Yesh Machmirim rather, that you can't be Mitztarif Atzamos B'Makom Hefsid. But he says Yesh Lismoch but then says that B'Makom Hefsid Yesh Lismoch Hamakilin Matirim Kikei Nikar. So again, he quotes the Yesh Machmirim that Mitztarif Atzamos Iser Ima Heter Levatel. The but A yesh machmirim that you're not allowed to be mitzarif yatzamal se'isr with the hatzitivim vatel, but then says that b'makom hafsid you could be mekel, and because meikra didn't really yatzamal don't have any tam. So that's how the Rambam concludes. Again, pashtus is atzamos don't have any tam. We mean atzamos that don't have malach. Let's see, like that piskachu in the Maria Levi.
What's the start of having a father? You have a bone that's of disser. How is it now becoming heter?
Because it's not food. Only food of disser is disser. Atzamos are not part of what? No, it's not, it doesn't have any blios of isser because it was never cooked with the meat. It's just, right? I mean, it was only cooked together with all the rest of the tarobas. So bones themselves are total heter, right? So that's the rundown of the first part of the simon. But what we're going to spend most of our time on today, tomorrow, I mean, the rest of today, which I guess. Oh, by the way, do we have enough for a minion? Can we make a Minchah Minyan right after? Because they asked me to do the 10-minute halacha on Zoom at 2:45. So to get back to my office after the Beis Medrash finishes Minchah at 2:50 in time for the 2:45 Zoom is going to be a challenge. So if we could dive in here at 2:20, and actually like going forward, we could do that. That would be really great. If not, then let me know. I don't know what I'll do. I'll figure something out. We're going to have to talk about this now. Available minyan. Are we allowed to go to other minyanim on campus?
Like,
you have to sign up.
You have to sign up for
chakras,
but you're able to go to different
ones. Do they still have like an MTA building like at the Zman, like at Shkia?
Yeah, I saw
that
they have a Shkia.
In the MTA building?
Somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, because they normally do Mincha and Maariv right then.
Yeah, they have
one. Okay. Ah, okay. All right, I'll have to figure it out. But today we'll try to do Mincha. If only the Zoomers counted. But we'll have to. Okay, so now we move on to Ein Mevatel Nisulachatina. Now this is what we've all been waiting for, right? Meaning this obviously is, you very rarely have actual shilas of being mitzarif at samos. Usually when you have shishim, you have way more than shishim. And you know, it's not, you don't get down into the nitty gritty of being mitzarif at samos. And in your rabbinic careers, you're very unlikely to ever say a shir about tziruf at samos unless you happen to be teaching a YU smicha class. Okay, so let's say a bitulis l'chachila, though, that's a sugya, right? That's something that gets discussed all the time. So now, how do we get to Bitulis L'Chadchila over here? Because the Rishonim talk about whether it's Nisidra Raisa or Nisidra Bana to be Mevatel Nisidra L'Chadchila within the Sugya of Zroa B'Sheila. Why? Because the Gemara asks, why does Rabbi Yehuda learn from Dam Hapar V'Dam HaSa'ir that Min B'Mino Ein Batel, right? Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of the Min B'Mino Ein Batel is based on the fact that the mixture of Dam Hapar, which is way more blood than the Dam HaSa'ir, that we still are goreis the dama sa'ir in the mixture when you have dama par v'dama sa'ir. So you see, why is it not batel? Because min b'mino ain't a batel. Why does he have to learn from there? Why doesn't he just learn from Zorah B'Sheila that min b'mino is batel? Meaning he should learn the opposite from Zorah B'Sheila. You have a counter-indicator. You want to tell me dama par v'dama sa'ir tells you min b'mino ain't a batel. Zorah B'Sheila tells you that min b'mino is batel because the Zorah is the same min as the rest of the animal. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara answers, Zra b'sheila chidushu umi chidush lo gamrinan. That Zra b'sheila is a chidush, and therefore you can't learn klalim for the Gan Shas from a chidush. What the Gemara does not do is identify what the chidush is of Zra b'sheila. Right? What exactly is that chidush? So as we pointed out, the definition of chidush is not something that I wouldn't have thought of on my own, because Kol HaTorah Kula I would not have thought of on my own. Probably L'Sir Tzach I would have thought of on my own. There are a few things I probably would have thought of on my own, but most of the Torah I would not have thought of on my own. So that's not the definition of a Chiddush. We pointed out, Rav Shechter writes in Eretz Tzvi, but it's really a Taisus in Yevamos, Tav Zayin, that the definition of a Chiddush is something that is Soser as a Klal, a Dover as Soser as a Klal. That if the rules throughout Kol HaTorah Kula are one way, and this breaks those rules, that's a chiddush. And that's why, what other halachas do we call a chiddush throughout Shas? Most famously, Edim Zomim. What's the chiddush of Edim Zomim? Because the halacha is, the klal is, trekite Edim ha-machisha zu-zu. If you have two groups of Edim that contradict each other, you believe nobody. You throw them both out. Right? So machlokas for Edus Acheres, being mitzdarif, one from this kat, one from that kat, okay, so you have a lebedik discussion. But as far as the case in front of us, you believe nobody by Shteki Teidim HaMachisho Zuazu. And yet, when it comes to Eidim Zomimin, it's Soser Saklal, because you believe the second group over the first group automatically. There's a full believability in the second group. Or Motzi Shemra. What's the Chiddush of Motzi Shemra? Normally in Kol HaTorah Kula, Ein Lokin HaMishalman. You can't get both Malkus and have to pay. And yet comes Motzi Shemra, and Lokin HaMishalman. You do get both. So whenever we say chiddush, it means the davar asosir saklal. So we hear there's some sort of chiddush, but the Gemara doesn't tell us what the chiddush is. Rabbi Sheila is comes along the Ran Lamehem days b'dav erif, and he quotes a Ravid, which is also in Tamim Dayim, but much more accessible to us in the Ran in the back of the Gemara. Right. So the Ran, quoting the Ravid, says the chiddush is that we're allowing bittul l'sul chachiva, meaning the Torah is allowing you to be mevashel this Rabbi Sheila with the rest of the animal. So, it meets the ratio of Bittel, that's where we derive the ratio of Shishim from, but it's allowing for Bittel. And normally, you're not allowed to be Mbatel Lesil Chachila. What's the Ravid assuming? Bittel Lesil Chachila is a Dintar Raisa, Ein Mbatel Lesil Chachila is a Dintar Raisa. And that's why the Gemara calls it a Chiddush, that in this one place, the Torah allows you to be Mbatel Lesil Chachila. Now, it is, you know, a challenge conceptually. Meaning, we do hold bittul works, right? Bittul is a thing that definitely works. The idea that if you were mevatel in Isul Chachila, that it now does not become batel, that's for sure only on a drabban level. Right? I mean, the rice of bittul for sure works. So if it for sure works, why can't I do it? It won't be the problem with being batalus al-chachila, meaning the bitl, this is not there. So there are two possibilities. You know, probably more, but two possibilities that we'll mention. There's a concept we've discussed, and we will discuss more, at the beginning of Masechus Beitza, davar sheyesh lo matir. A davar sheyesh lo matir also does not become batal on a drabbanan level. And why did they institute that a davar sheyesh lo matir should not become batel? So Rashi writes in Maseches Beitza, ad shetochlenu b'yisur tochlenu b'heter. Why wait for bittel? Why rely on bittel rather? Just wait, and the whole thing's going to be mutter anyway. That's Rashi's taich. However, how can you call it? What is it? Ad shetochlenu b'yisur? Ad shetochlenu b'bittel maybe. But if it's batel, it's not iser. I mean, asher tochlen be iser, tochlen be heter. If it's batel, it's really heter. So it must be that Rashi is telling us that even on a daraisa level, relying on bittel is still a kula. It's still something that's not 100%. Even on a daraisa level, that it's true, it's mutter to eat, but it's almost like a bidyavet midaraisa. Okay, that's a chiddush in the first place, that there could be such a thing as a lechachil and a bidyavan on a daraisa level. Not so pashut that such a thing exists. Pretty clear in other Rishonim, in the Ritva and elsewhere, that there's no such thing as a lechachil and a bidyavan on a daraisa. But that's one possibility. If bittul is a bidyavan on a daraisa level, you can understand that there would be a rule of ein mevat and it's a lechachil. Yes, it works, but it's only a bidyavan. You're not supposed to make bittul. Second mahalik is the Rashba and the Mishmer Sabayis. The Rashba and the Mishmer Sabayis seem to understand that the Torah was concerned with people doing bittul all the time because it's so easy to make a mistake with the ratios. Meaning people are just going to go around doing bittul, they may mess up, and we don't want that happening. So therefore, you have a siyag daraisa not to be mvatal the silu chachila. Meaning it could be that it's a din daraisa, but it's a siyag daraisa. Add it to the list we went through, right? When we did the Kesef Mishnah about the Yisur Bishl Basu Bechalav. So put it on the list with Yichud and Negiya B'Darachiba, yeah, the whole list of Siyag D'Araisas, and Nazir eating grapes, and all the, you know, Kisei Adam, and, you know, okay. That's Shittas Araibas, yeah.
But it's a Siyag D'Araisas, you don't really be concerned,
Not to do it, right? Aim of alten is l'chadchila on a d'oraisa level. Yeah, yeah, that's the sheet of the rod, that it's a dinta of the rabbi, that it's a dinta oraisa. That
you should never rely on bittul in any case.
No, not do bittul.
B'di'evet,
it works on a d'oraisa level, but you're not supposed to do bittul. You're not supposed to create bittul. Right, that's a dinta oraisa.
Can you say that?
Well, why do you need a leidas hasafik? What do you mean? What kind of safik?
Meaning, what's shot in the shaft and round? I mean, it's a safik there also, meaning it's mixed. Meaning, I thought, like, at least the Ran is saying, is that because if it's something that can happen all the time, then we're not just going to let you go be mabatal at you. I mean, it's when you're really in a real makom safik, when you're already putting yourself in a real bidiyah situation. So here, it's also not a safik. It's the same thing as.
Right, but this is saying on a d'oraisa level, right? Over here, we're trying to touch up on a d'oraisa level, so that's a little bit different. Yeah.
Just within that Rashi data, even though he calls it Israel, like, he doesn't really think it's like bidyev. Like he wouldn't tell you in general bittul you shouldn't eat it, like if it's not an aim of bottom case. So he clearly isn't really considering it only bidyev.
No, bidyev means bidyevad. It's already done. It's already.
No, but what if you didn't eat it yet? What if it's in there but you didn't eat it yet? You could eat it with a chila. It's totally 100% mother.
Yeah, but b'diav means that you already have a tarobas.
So, I mean, if you're saying that it's still not ideal, then don't eat it.
No, it's not ideal to create the bittul.
Right. But once it's created.
Then it's mutter.
So then why? Then how does he explain the devashish
material? Oh, no, devashish material, because there's another option. So then we just don't rely on bittul at all, even b'diavad. Meaning, what Rashi is explaining is why don't we say that we will rely on bittul, and he says and then he calls relying on bittul tochlenu b'iser, right? So meaning because relying on bittul relied on the fact that we did something that was undesirable, even though right now eating it would have been totally motive. It's not an exact parallel, but I mean, it at least gives you the notion that bittul is not something that we're happy about, even from a d'oraisa perspective. Ratzon
HaTov. Why is it? What's his source for eating v'atel in Israel? If it's d'oraisa, he's saying there's a klal, and then Israel's the exception.
That's a good question. I mean, the Gemara is saying chiddushu mehechi tasty that it's a chiddush. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. So that's shittas arayva though. Shittas arayva in about this lechachil is din d'oraisa. Comes along the Ran a little later, and the Ran quotes the Balei Tosfos that in mevatlin is only midrabanan, that the isra to mevatlin is a chiddush is only midrabanan, and he says, what about our Gemara? The Gemara says chiddushu. So doesn't chiddushu mean that it's a chiddush that we're allowing you to be mevatelis al-chachila? He says, no. The chiddush is not that we're allowing you to be mevatelis al-chachila. The chiddush is we are requiring you to be mevatelis al-chachila. You don't get a choice if you're a nazir how to bring your carbon shlamim. The ayil nazir has to be brought in that way. It must be zroa b'shela. If we're requiring you to be mevatelis al-chachila, that's a chiddush. Whereas in Kala Tarakula, we allow you to be mevatel l'chadchila. We would just not require you to be mevatel l'chadchila. Why is it that we hold ein mevatel l'chadchila? That must be a din d'rabbanan. That's the Ran in the name of the Balei HaTosfos. So you have machlokas between the Ravid and the Balei HaTosfos, both quoted in the Ran and both quoted over here in the Beis Yosef. Good. Is bittul l'chadchila din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? So Pashtus is. That you either hold one way or the other, right? Meaning it's either d'oraisa or it's d'rabbanan, but there's no like middle ground. However, there are a number of rishonim that, or achronim at least, that not in rishonim actually, only in achronim pretty much, that you do find a middle ground. that it's not so pasha that it's just all one way or all the other way. That it's either mevatlin a mevatlin nisul chalchila on a darais level or it's a mevatlin nisul chalchila on a drabban level. So let's give a couple of examples. We'll see how far we get. Pischei tshuva in Sifkat and Gimel quotes Lady Behuda. Lady Behuda Madura Tinyana Yaradea Sim Memhei talks about the following chiluk. If let's say you're mevatel yavesh bi yavesh l'chachila, right? Could that be mutter min haTorah? Could that possibly be mutter min haTorah? Yavesh bi yavesh means you have a salami that is that's not kosher. So you quickly buy two kosher salamis. You open up the packaging on all three of them. You juggle them real fast. And now you can't tell which one is which. Acharav nahatos. So you follow the road. Can't be. It can't be that you're allowed to do that. Right? And now what? Now you need all three salami. We're going to have the five-way machlokas rishonim. What you do when you have bitl of yavish yavish. But bottom line is, someone's going to be eating treif, right? You know? So it can't be that you're allowed to do that. That you're allowed to be mvatl yavish yavish l'chachila. Can't possibly be mitzvah Torah. So says Nid Yehuda, the entire machlokas rishonim is not about yavish yavish. It's only about lach b'lach, where the tam is overpowered and reduced. Whereas by Yavish B'Yavish, the Isser is still there. It's still a treif of salami, and someone's going to be eating the entire tam of a treif of salami in all of its glory. So that you can't allow l'chachila. If you're mixing liquids, then it's more likely that it's mutter min haTorah. Because you've totally been mevatel it. You've turned it into, you've reduced it into nothing. So at the end of the day, when it's Yavish B'Yavish, you do have one piece that's 100% pure treif, whereas by Lach B'Lach, it gets absorbed and loses its physical identity. It's overwhelmed by the heter. So by Yavish B'Yavish, all agree in Vatan Issa L'Chachila is a Din D'Araisa. In fact, in Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Yerodeh Simin Shim Yates, he adds that when the Torah in Shmos Perach Chafetz discusses what to do with Nevela, right? So what is it? L'Kelev Tashlich L'Nasov. What do you do with treifa? Legarisha b'shrachat nana or machal nachri. I have a better idea. If I have a nevela, I have a treifa. What is the kalav tashlich l'nasov? It means get rid of it. You got to destroy it, right? Giving it to a nachri means I'm getting rid of it. Why can't I keep it? Just be mevatel it, says the Chassam Sofer. Why did the Torah think of that? Just buy a few more kosher ones, and close your eyes and juggle them. And then it's all going to be mutter. Elamai says of Chassam Sofer, you see a raya that the Nedev Yehuda is correct. That since a nevela is a davar yavish, it's an entity, you can't be mevatel yavish v'yavish, it's a l'chachila. Taisus implies this way in Beitza Davdal and Ramalef. We'll get more into the sugya in Beitza Davdal and Ramalef, maybe tomorrow, maybe Sunday. But Tosus implies that there's an Issa d'Araisa, Bein Mevatel Issa l'Chachila, like the Shita of the Ravid. He pretty much says straight out. But we'll leave Tosus aside for now. Now, the idea of a chilik between Yavish V'Yavish versus Lach D'Lach, the idea that there's such a distinction, it's only stated explicitly by the Nedev Yehuda, by the Chassam Sofer, but it probably has its basis in Rishonim. There is a Mordechai that discusses a Gemara in Yevamos. Right? The Yevama has to spit in front of the Yavam, do the whole procedure, and the Gemara said, what if she spits? She tries to, you know, get some good saliva. Sometimes the Yevama gets so nervous that her mouth gets dry and she's unable to spit. So there are all these details in halacha. They do chalitzas here sometimes, right? You know, in the Beis Din, they do chalitzas every once in a while. So sometimes she'll get so nervous. So there are halachas about, can she take a drink? Is that really saliva? That's just, you know, how long after taking a drink does she have to wait? So the Beis Din has to be aware of all these halachas, of how to do this properly. So the Gemara says, what if Yevama tries to get her saliva ready? And she spits, and it's all red. And she wasn't eating like cherry Laffy Taffys before. It's all red because it's all dam, or it's largely dam that she spits out. So the Gemara says it works. It's kosher. Counts as good chalitza. So Gemara says, why? You can't have blood without at least a little bit of saliva in there. So there may be a lot of blood, but it has to be that there's some saliva in there also. So the Gemara is a similar lashon when it talks about tumas zav. If a zav becomes a balkeri, so we assume that's a re'iyah ziva as well. That shichva zera is always going to come out to tzuchei ziva. So the Mordechai raised the question, why don't you say the saliva is batel berov of the blood? Or that the little bit of ziva is batel tzuchei. Tzuchei means like little droplets. She spat out a whole bunch of blood. So why don't you say that the saliva is batel berov? So the Mordechai says that maybe the saliva is not totally absorbed in the blood. It's like a little bit separate. Right, sometimes someone can spit something out and you'll see, like, there's the thicker portion of it and there's the more liquidy portion of it. Okay. Alternatively, says Mordechai, maybe you can't rely on Bittel Barov because it was Bali Olam Bittaroves. It's not a Taroves that was created. When it was initially came out into the world, it was already a Taroves. And you don't say Bittel when something is born as a Taroves. You only say bittel when two previously independent items become mixed, but items that were always mixed from the moment they came into the world are not going to be batel berov. The Mari Korkas just asks on the Mordechai that fundamentally he seems to assume that bittel berov should have worked, so he had to come up with all sorts of theories. But bittel berov technically should have worked on the saliva versus the blood. Problem is, the Gemara in the second parak of Menachos tells us that if you have three pieces of meat, two of which are shchuta, one of which is an avela, and I touch one of them, I'm tahor. But if I put all the pieces of meat in a bag, and I lift up the bag, so nevela is metame b'masa, since I'm definitely carrying a nevela in that bag, I'm tahor. What happened to bittel? Again, I have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of nevela, stick it all in a bag, and I lift up the bag. I'm tummy. Why am I tummy? Gemara says I'm tummy. Why am I tummy? What happened to bittel? Elamai, what are you going to say? That there's a difference between yavish b'yavish versus lach b'lach. When I have some saliva mixed with blood, so yes, over there you're going to say that there's such a concept of bittel. Or there should be if you don't have one of the terutzim of the Mordechai. Because the saliva is totally overwhelmed by the blood. The saliva is reduced, it's minimized by the blood. But when you're dealing with the tarovus of yavish b'yavish, then tarovus of yavish b'yavish, it's kamandi isay, it's still there. Yeah. Now, so when it comes to three pieces of meat, it's batel berov, you know, but when you look at the entire thing, I have to be cognizant of the presence of the issur. Meaning it's a tricky line to walk, right? But that's what he's suggesting. But yes, there's a concept of bittel, so if I want to eat one of them, I'm allowed to eat one of them. And this may relate to, and if I want to eat all three of them, right? So that we're going to see a major machlokas Rishonim. So this may relate very much to that machlokas in the Rishonim of how to deal with a bittel of yavish b'yavish. But that's it's based on this kind of mahalich in Rishonim that the Nedi Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer can tell us that when it comes to yavish b'yavish, l'kuli alma ein mevatlan nesil chachila is a din d'oraisa. So apparently lach b'lach is a stronger kind of tarovis than yavish b'yavish. That applies in other halachas as well, that we view lach b'lach as like a more severe kind of tarovis. For example, chametz b'pesach is asur b'mashehu. What about tarovis chametz from before Pesach? He had a tarovus chametz, but it was we passed midrabanan chametz pesach zasim b'mashal. So machlokas we showed him whether chametz that was mixed before pesach is also zasim b'mashal or it's batel b'shishim. So some rishonim assume that it's still zasim b'mashal. Others say no, iser mashal was only if it was nisari van pesach. So the Ramban in Hilchos Pesach says there's a difference whether it was yavish b'yavish. Then it's going to be asur b'mashu, even if it was mixed before Pesach, versus lach b'lach, which is batel b'shishim before Pesach. Meaning, when it's yavish b'yavish, we can't ignore that the isur is still intact, and we just can't identify where it is. So comes Pesach, and the isur is there. So now it's going to be asur b'mashu. Whereas by lach b'lach, the isur is gone. It's been reduced, it's been overwhelmed, it's been overpowered. So the Isser is not Chozer V'Nero when Pesach arrives vis-a-vis a Tarovus of Lach B'Lach, because the Isser is already gone. It seems against Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Min B'Mino Zeno Batel, tells us in Menachos quotes Rabbi Natan that Rabbi Yehuda would agree Min B'Mino can be Batel if Yavish B'Yavish. So it seems that Lach B'lach is worse than Yavish B'Yavish in that context. But it's probably not a stira. That's probably based on something else. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda's idea of Min B'Mino not being Batel is not a logical shita. It's a Gzeres HaKasav kind of shita. So the idea of Min B'Mino ain't a Batel is a Gzeres HaKasav that happened to have been said in a situation of Lach B'lach. So once, meaning for Tosfos Menachos say, oh, you know, when Rabbi Yehuda says Min B'Mino ain't a Batel only applies to Lach B'lach, it doesn't apply to Yavish B'Yavish. Ooh, wait a second, so now you mean to tell me Lach B'lach is more Chamor than Yavish B'Yavish? Yeah, that could be, just because that's the Gzeres HaKasav. What's the Gzeres HaKasav? Dam Asari, V'dam Apar. So that happened to have been Lach B'Lach. So since Rabbi Yehuda's Hoshita anyway is only based on the Gzeres HaKasav, so it's just, you know, Kach Chid Shetorah, so you know, it doesn't have to answer to which kind of Tarovus is more Chamor. But anyway, be that as it may, at the end of the day, the Nedvid of the Chasam Sofer and likely several Rishonim fundamentally view the chilik between Yavish B'Yavish and Lach B'Lach differently. They fundamentally view Tarovus of Yavish B'Yavish differently than Tarovus of Lach B'Lach. And the way it plays out over here, according to the Nedvid Yehuda, is that Ein Mevatlus L'Chalchila and Yavish B'Yavish is a Din D'Oraisa, whereas Ein Mevatlus L'Chalchila and Lach B'Lach is a Din D'Rabbanan. Okay, so that is one of the sort of qualifiers on this Din. What do we say? Imvalness of chilum achlokus rishonim is it a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan? So now we're suggesting qualifiers. Maybe it's not all or nothing. It's not either all d'oraisa or all d'rabbanan. So the first qualifier is yavish b'yavish versus lach b'lach. As Hashem, tomorrow we'll get into some more qualifiers. I would strongly recommend looking up the Avnei Miluim in the back of the Sefer in the Shailut Shuvah section, Simin Yibchas. It's not really Shailut and Shuvah. It's just topics that he wanted to write about. You know, in the long line of Chachamim who did that, they call it Shalos HaTshuvos, but I would strongly recommend looking at that for tomorrow. That's what we'll start with tomorrow, the Ezras Hashem. Oh, we'll start for real with Parsha tomorrow. Yeah.
There's a bunch of questions.
Oh, a bunch of questions. We should have stopped. You should have stopped me along the way. Okay.
I was on a roll.
I wasn't on such a good roll.
What's the Mari Korkis' issue with the Mordechai by blood and spit? Isn't that Lach?
So that's the answer. Okay, we got there.
Yoni
also wants to know, isn't there a claim regarding after Rabban Matos, a case of Dittara Isra Fafila? Meaning about with Dayanim? It's not Isra, there's no
Isra. Right, and then, how do you count the marrow in the bone for the equation if it's inside the bone without surgery, obviously?
How do you do the chashbon? Yeah, it's complicated math. You need to be a math major to figure all this out. Yeah. Okay, mincha? Can we have a mincha?